Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation be upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Lord, once again, we thank you, Lord, for the year 2017. Thank you for the opportunity for us as believers to be servants of you, disciples who are hearing and walking in the wisdom and counsel of your word each and every day. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us not only to read your word daily, but thank you for the chance to teach and train our children to do the same, to teach and train and encourage our grandchildren to do the same, and also to encourage other believers and other individuals to read and obey your word day by day as well. Lord, help us to be about your business every single day of our lives. And Lord, more and more, help us to know, too, that you've called all of us to be faithful witnesses, witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and also witnesses for life. Help us to be faithful to carry these out every single day. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and as always, we appreciate you listening in. And of course, each day we want to remind and encourage you, if you haven't taken time to go by and take a look at our website, we hope that you'll do that. UrbanFamilyTalk.com, of course, is the website. Again, UrbanFamilyTalk.com. There you'll find some interesting and encouraging blogs and articles, and also just different questions sometimes, and different things that can encourage you in your walk as a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, like to make mention too that we'd like to encourage you to get some of the free mobile apps that we do have available both on iPhone and your Android devices. Just go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk, and that way you'll be able to, wherever you might go, you'll be able to take Urban Family along with you. And again, we want to invite and encourage you to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and we hope that you'll take time to do that as well. We have as our phone guest today, Tracy Reynolds. Tracy is the Communication and Training Manager for the Justice Foundation. Many of you may recall Attorney Alan Parker was on the broadcast with us last week sharing about some of the outreach that the Justice Foundation is involved in, but we're grateful to have Tracy with us today. Tracy, how are you today?
I am doing well, and thank you so much, Pastor Joseph, for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Privileged to have you come on and share. And as we start, if you would share with our listeners once again what the ministry of the Justice Foundation does, and then specifically what you do as the communication and training manager for the Justice Foundation.
Well, the Justice Foundation is involved in a lot of projects, but the focus of this particular program is our initiative that we've been doing for the last 8 years or so, and it's called Center Against Forced Abortion. And so what we do in this initiative is we educate people about the laws really across the country. Right now we're focusing in Texas, but we really have cases all over the country and have educational efforts all over the country to let people know essentially that it is unlawful to force a girl or a woman to have an abortion against her will. That's the biggest mission, if you will, of the project. Mm-hmm. And so there are three types of forced abortion. There are the types where it's parents or guardians forcing their daughter into having an abortion against her will. The second type is the father of the child, whether it's the husband or boyfriend, forcing, again, the pregnant woman to have an abortion. And then the third type has to do with sex trafficking, so people that are get pregnant that are in the sex trafficking industry. And so our initiative is to educate people across the country at all levels about the laws concerning this and to provide important tools. And I think when Alan Parker was on last week, he talked about some of the tools, and I will as well. But we started our efforts, and this is where I come in, am involved, in educating pregnancy resource centers across the country. So those are kind of the first-line people that deal with the girl or woman coming into their center who's pregnant and who says that her parents or her boyfriend or father of the child are forcing her to have an abortion. And so we develop various tools to train the pregnancy centers, and we also have set up webinars and direct trainings through the pregnancy center networks that they have available, such as Heartbeat and CareNet. Mm-hmm. And so my involvement is really to direct or manage those training efforts. And so we set up this, again, Center Against Forced Abortion, develop tools, and we train pregnancy centers across the country. And they also have access to our website, of course, and to call us whenever they are in a forced abortion situation. And at the time we got involved in this, we had no idea how prevalent this problem is. But it was amazing to learn how many pregnant women are forced to have an abortion. And I would say probably the most common one is the first one, which is pregnant teens being forced by their parents to have an abortion. And the pregnancy centers who deal with these kinds of things on a daily basis did not know quite how to deal with those issues from a legal standpoint. So we developed some tools, which are available on our website, by the way, thejusticefoundation.org. We developed tools to for the pregnancy centers to use to deal with that situation.
Well, you know, Tracy, I think of this, that one of the reasons why I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the broadcast is that many people, as you've already mentioned, don't realize how often and how prevalent it is that even though our culture tries to say that it's a woman's choice, lots of women don't have a choice. They're forced by parents, by boyfriends, by husbands to get an abortion, even when they either are on the fence or actually want to keep their baby. And so clearly it's not even a woman's choice very often, in spite of the fact that those on the other side tries to make that the issue. So again, what you're speaking of is a huge issue that the church needs to be educated about and to learn what we can do to help make a difference in addressing this.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And so we provide these tools, and again, they're all available on our website. But the first tool that we provide is a letter that the pregnancy center can give to their client, and it's called the Dear Client Letter. And so it essentially says, we know that this is a tough time for you, that you're probably confused and scared and everything, but we are here to help you, and we have resources to help you. And in this Dear Client Letter, it says very specifically to that teenage girl or woman that it is unlawful for anyone to pressure, unduly influence, or force you into having an abortion. It is your choice and your choice alone. And so most of the pregnancy centers give this letter to their clients because sometimes they might not know that their parents or boyfriend are going to try to pressure them until they get home. And so we really encourage people in this situation, whether you're a pregnancy center, whether you're just an interested parent of a boyfriend, know a teenage girl that's pregnant, whatever it is, it's great to be able to have this tool to give to her so that she understands her legal rights. Mm-hmm. And then the letter I know that Alan Parker talked about last week a lot is the Dear Parent Letter. This is probably our most powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And this is given to the people that come into the pregnancy center to take home to their parents. It's written on Justice Foundation stationery, so it looks very legal. And it is a letter to the parents, again, starting out saying, we know that this is a tough time for you. You're probably angry and confused and going through a lot of emotions, but we need to educate you on the law, which is that it is unlawful to force, pressure, and unduly influence your child to have an abortion. And then it gives several examples of of things that they say that are against the law, if you will, or the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things like, you know, I will beat you within an inch of your life if you don't have this abortion. I've made the appointment. You have to go. I'm going to kick you out of the house. All those type of statements are unlawful because parents are responsible to provide for and support their children until they reach 18. So therefore, it's unlawful to say, I'm going to throw you out of the house. At the same time, the pregnant teen is responsible for her child, in which case, in this case, the unborn child, to direct the upbringing and care of this baby. So the Dear Parent letter tries to empathize with the parent's situation, but also explains the laws that pertain to forcing the child into having an abortion.
Okay. Well, Tracy, would you take time just to pray for our listeners that they would just really have a heart to want to get involved with addressing this? Because, again, as you've already alluded to, a lot of believers, a lot of individuals have no idea how often abortions happen because either a parent or a boyfriend or husband is forcing a woman who, again, often is wanting to really keep her child, but she feels sometimes very much coerced. And, of course, all of that is against the law. But many people, including law enforcement people, don't know the law. Sometimes you find people that work in pregnancy clinics who don't know the law, but obviously lots of parents, husbands, boyfriends, and the women themselves don't know the law. But would you pray for our listeners to get involved?
Absolutely. And I would also, before I pray, would also encourage you. They say that one out of three people across the country have experienced abortion. And so it's a huge issue.
That's right.
And so you're bound to know someone. If you don't know somebody now that's experienced abortion or that's in an unplanned pregnancy, you're bound to know someone. And so we encourage you, and Heavenly Father, we just pray right now for our listeners that this information will be useful for them and that they will be able to reach out and counsel either parents that find out that their teenager is pregnant or that teenage girl that comes to them because they're so scared to tell the parents because they think that they're going to be forced to have an abortion. So we just pray right now that, that these listeners out there will be equipped and educated to know how to deal with these situations. And again, we pray that they will have a heart to know what to say, whether it's to that girl or whether it's to her parents. Because the law is one thing, but we want to appeal to their hearts. So, Lord, we just ask that you give us the wisdom and the words to appeal to the hearts of those people that find themselves in this unplanned pregnancy situation. And give us your Holy Spirit wisdom in terms of how to counsel those people. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And, Father, I too thank you and I praise you for each person that's listening as well. And, Lord, thank you for the ministry of the Justice Foundation that has graciously and wisely put together tools like these that any believer can get to put to use, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every single listener will take it on themselves to download and get copies of these tools and send to their local schools and to their local law enforcement offices and to principals, to teachers, basically putting in their hands these great and wonderful tools to help them to both be educated themselves, but also to have tools that they, too, can use to pass on to help others to not go down the tragic road of abortion. And, Lord, help us know that there's something all of us can do if we'll take it upon ourselves to do it. Thank you again. We praise you for the Justice Foundation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Tracy Reynolds, the Communication and Training Manager for the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Every day should be a time of preparation for us. Every day, there should be a dimension of spiritual hunger and thirst in our lives. There should be a true seeking of God. Our prayer should always be, God, what do you want to say to me during this season? How can I prepare even the more for your coming? We should want our minds and hearts to be open to His Spirit. And there's no doubt in my mind that in these last and evil days, the primary thing in our lives should be our relationship with Emmanuel, the one who came to dwell with us. Prepare your hearts and your minds and be still before the Lord. Make sure that you hear what He wants you to do and be obedient during this season of preparation in your life. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
25 years ago when Life Issues Institute began, our first project was to do research to find out how Americans viewed the pro-life movement. Out of that came our new message of love them both. It neutralized much of the venom from radical feminists, focused attention on both mother and child, and has been responsible for saving countless lives around the world. So I was pleased to see Ireland's pro-life group called Pro-Life Campaign kick off the Love Both Project. To protect their Eighth Amendment, safeguarding the nation's unborn babies through a referendum vote. During the project's launch, women who faced unexpected pregnancies testified to the blessings of loving both mother and child. Please keep Ireland in your prayers as pro-lifers gear up to win this important battle.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Music of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Tracy Williams. She's the Communication and Training Manager for the Tracy Reynolds, Communication and Training Manager for the Justice Foundation. Tracy, Do you have some testimonials, some stories of ways in which you've seen the Lord use some of the tools that you all have placed in the hands of the church? Can you hear me?
Yes, I do. And so I would say I have used this myself, these tools, and been involved in the situation. And I have testimonies from actually both sides, from the side of the pregnant woman mm-hmm. or girl being forced into abortion. And then I've also been involved in abortion recovery programs where I've seen the aftermath of what happens when parents do force their daughter to have an abortion. And typically on the other side, I've heard, and this is, we've come up with a lot of statistics, but I would say we have probably a 60% rate, at least, if not more, of people or of pregnant women that are forced to have an abortion. And people don't realize it's that high. It actually really is.
So it's the majority of women. So it's the majority of women, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, majority, yeah, of girls and women are pressured in some kind of way. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's direct or flagrant, but definitely pressured or forced into having an abortion. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge issue in the recovery phase where a woman or a girl was pressured to have an abortion and went through a lot of guilt and feelings about it and sometimes suppressed those feelings for years before finally coming to terms with it and going through abortion recovery programs. And what happens is, you know, several situations I've known of are girls who were forced 16, 17 years old by their parents to have an abortion ends up destroying a relationship with their mom or their parents. A lot of times the rationale is, well, it's going to ruin your life. I'm going to have you go through high school, finish college, and the baby is just not going to work. And what ends up happening is if the girl is forced to have an abortion, she goes through a downward spiral that can cause her to, in fact, not finish school. Mm-hmm. In some cases, run away from home and not have a good relationship with her parents. So the parents that were trying to actually, in their minds, do the right thing and help her have a future by forcing her to have an abortion at once destroys the relationship between their daughter and them, mm-hmm. and two, sometimes causes the opposite result, which is that there's so much guilt and remorse by the pregnant teen that they end up dropping out of college. And sometimes even stories I've heard have other abortions, multiple abortions, because they're in that downward spiral. So it's really important for parents to understand the impact of doing this. Now, on the other side, I actually have had opportunities to use these tools as a counselor at a pregnancy center. And one of my favorite stories is we have the opportunity, and if you work for pregnancy centers or know people in this situation, it's great if you can talk to the pregnant girl, the mom of the pregnant girl, and sometimes even the boyfriend. And so in this case, we actually had a situation where we had the girl, her mom, and the boyfriend in the pregnancy center at the same time, so we were able to talk to them. Mm-hmm. The pregnant girl's mom, in this case the grandparent, was very adamant about being against her having the child because, one, she didn't like the boyfriend, two, the girl was young, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so she actually got into a situation where there was abuse, mm-hmm. A little bit of, you know, abusiveness to the daughter because she was so upset. So I drew the straw to talk to the mom, or otherwise known as the grandmother. Mm-hmm. And I spent a long time with her. We explored her feelings. We knew that she was angry, that she was upset. And I were both about the Dear Parent letter and the legal issues. And I also kind of appealed to her heart and talked to her about the consequences of forcing her daughter into having an abortion, that it could really hurt their relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it ended up that she broke down and cried, and we talked through the whole thing. And it ended up that at the end of the day, she went out and hugged her daughter and said, you know what, I'm disappointed, I'm upset, but if this is what you want to do, I'm going to support you. And that's the best conclusion, if you can come to that with the parents, both from the legal aspect, but really from the emotional aspect, is to say, we know how you feel, but here's the law, and here's the consequences if you do end up forcing her to have that abortion. So that's one story. I definitely have other stories that I can share. But another aspect of our program is to train law enforcement and child protective services workers on the law, because law enforcement is not really aware of the laws concerning forcing a girl to have an abortion. The common understanding is, well, they're her parents, and if they whatever they tell her to do, she needs to do. Mm-hmm. But this one of those exceptions in our law is that, no, actually, it is unlawful to pressure somebody. So we've recently developed a letter to law enforcement explaining to them the laws and offering to train law enforcement professionals across the country. And we just completed one of our first trainings last week, and it was really amazing the response that we got and how many law enforcement don't realize, one, the laws around this, two, the tools and how they can actually help in these kinds of situations.
Well, you know, Tracy, it's powerful and very important for listeners to really listen to what you're saying, because, of course, you all have tools, some that are geared towards informing parents of the law, some geared towards women, what the law is, and then the law enforcement. And, you know, I think of this like, I'm aware of a situation where there was an instance where there were sidewalk counselors outside an abortion clinic in which they saw a woman pulling her daughter forcibly into an abortion clinic, and they called the police, and they explained to the police what they saw. And initially, the policeman, his immediate response was, well, there's nothing I can do. But then they handed him a copy of the letter. He read the letter, and he immediately went into the abortion clinic to retrieve the mother, because he realized this is against the law. So as you said, lots of law enforcement, they do not know the law. And, you know, it's so important to know that every single listener could actually help to distribute these tools in their community and could literally help save babies in their community if they would.
Yes. And speaking of your example, and I know, Pastor Joseph, you have a couple of examples of your own, but I have two examples of where law enforcement has played a role in this type of situation. One is a good example, and one's an unfortunate one. But in one case, a girl went to visit her aunt because she was afraid that her parents were going to force her into having an abortion. And her mom, in fact, told her she would make the appointment. She was going to take her. So the girl ran away to her aunt's house. The aunt called her local pregnancy center, and they actually called the police and said, look, this girl has run away because her mom's made an appointment for abortion. She doesn't want an abortion. And they gave the police officer the Dear Parent letter. Mm-hmm. And the police officer actually went home with the girl to the parents and explained to them that it was, in fact, unlawful and that they really need to listen to their daughter and so forth. And so it ended up that the abortion was canceled. And the mom was not happy about it, but reluctantly she went along with the law. And it ended up, though, after all was said and done, that the child was born. And once, you know, even once you see an ultrasound sometimes, or once that baby comes out, all of a sudden that parent realizes, I'm a grandparent. This is my grandchild. And right. So if you can get through those first feelings of anger and disappointment and everything and get to the crux of the matter, it's great. Now, an opposite situation happened where a girl had was told she was, again, parents had made an appointment for her to have an abortion. She ran away to her boyfriend's house. Her boyfriend wanted her to have a child. And so the boyfriend's parents were in favor of her also having the child and were trying to protect her. Well, in this case, the girl's parents called the police. The police found her there, and they took her back home. And they said, no, you need to do what your mom says. You need to, they tell you to have an abortion, you need to have an abortion. So the police, even though they received the Dear Parent letter, they said, well, we don't know anything about these laws. We know that, you know, she's a young girl and she has to do what her parents say. So unfortunately, that girl was taken to the abortion clinic and had the abortion against her will. She ended up running away from home and completely broke off relationships with her parents. So again, parents that think they're protecting that child or police officers that think that they're protecting that child can sometimes have the exact opposite happen by doing what they do.
You know, and it's so tragic to think that, again, the ignorance of the law allows so many abortions to happen. And the fact is, too, anytime a family has an abortion within it, there's so much collateral damage because damage, obviously,
absolutely.
The baby has died, a life has been lost. But then again, there's many parents had no idea how devastated the relationship would be between them and their daughter once they went down that road thinking, well, they might have thought, well, she'll get over in a few weeks. And 10, 20, 30 years later, many times the relationship is still a poor relationship because the parents forced their daughter to have an abortion. And so lots of collateral damage in any family where that tragedy happens. And but, you know, at the same time, too, you mentioned the instance where the parents didn't get their wish and the baby was born. And it's almost comical to see how parents that were so adamant about an abortion, all of a sudden, no one falls in love with a baby more than the granddad and grandma once
absolutely.
That baby's born.
And there's so many stories. We have thousands of stories of babies who have been born and basically survived because of this program and the Dear Parent letter and the Dear Client letter, and so many grandparents who were originally so opposed to it that once they got through that and once they realized, you know what, we need to be here to support our daughter, they're thrilled to be grandparents. So you just have to get them through those early stages of, you know, denial, anger, frustration.
Right, right. Would you pray for families that might be dealing with this very situation right now who really need to allow the Spirit of God to minister the truth to them? Would you pray for those persons, please?
Sure. So, Heavenly Father, right now, I just lift up any parents out there that are facing this situation where their daughter is pregnant and they are concerned because she is underage, and they're concerned about all the things that happen in that situation. I just pray right now that you give them wisdom, give them understanding, that you help them really listen to their daughter and listen to what she wants, and help them really understand the consequences of their decision. I also pray that you will put upon their hearts, whether it's a picture via ultrasound or whether it's just a visual in their mind, of this child, this unborn child, being their grandchild. And so I pray that right now that you give them wisdom, that you give them discernment, that you take away those initial feelings of anger, disappointment, and turn them into positives. And so I just lift that up right now, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right.
And not only, by the way, does this issue involve parents, it also involves any responsible guardian. So sometimes it's the grandparent that's the guardian of that teenage girl because, you know, the parents are not in the picture. And sometimes it's simply a guardian. And one of the most well-known cases of this, in fact, if you haven't, I encourage you to have her on your show sometime, is the situation with Julia Holcomb. And Julia Holcomb is well known in the pro-life movement. She's in the process of finishing a book. But she was actually forced into an abortion when she was a teenager by Steven Tyler. And there's a lot of information on this on the website, et cetera. But she is now a speaker and goes out and shares her story.
Tracy, we're going to have to jump in here with a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Tracy Reynolds of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
My name is Kayla, and I'm 16. I was already snorting cocaine with my family by the time I was only 8 years old. But when I came to Teen Challenge, everything changed. Now that I'm drug-free, I've started seeing possibilities for myself I never would have dreamed of.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
Dr. Tony Evans says God always directs us toward our destiny, even if we run into detours along the way. Our real-life journey is a lot like a fictional one he'll tell us about today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You remember Dorothy, don't you, with the Wizard of Oz? And see, Dorothy is caught between a good witch and a bad witch, and she winds up in a place she never wants to be. Dorothy wants to be home in Kansas. But she finds out the only way she's going to get to where she wants to go is by going to a place called Oz and talking to a wizard. And so they all say, "We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz." Right? But we don't know how long this road is. We don't know how long it's going to take to get there. She just knows she has a destiny. She got to get to the wizard in order to get home to Kansas. But along the way, she's going to run into some problems. She got the wicked witch. She got flying monkeys. She got all kind of stuff that's going to be messing with her. And she only trying to get home. But along the way, she runs into a lion with no carriage, a tin man with no heart, and a straw man with no brain. And they form a small group. Because they all are trying to get to the same place. They trying to get to the wizard. So you and I ought to hook up and say, "We're off to see the Savior, the wonderful Savior of all." They hook up with other folk who are struggling too, because they are trying to get to their destiny. One needs a heart, one needs a brain, one needs carriage, one needs Kansas, but they all need the same wizard. Don't travel your detour alone.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
For the moments that wouldn't last, chased all my dreams away, chased all my dreams away. But then you found me and you put me on the right path. I'm on that highway, I'm on that highway. You got my heart and soul on everlasting love blast. I'm here to tell the world that's who I'm living for. Some people live in a world that's made of glass. I found a new way. I found a new way.
You're listening to Forever Jones, the song "I Know Who I'm Living For." Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Tracy Reynolds. She's the Communication and Training Manager of the Justice Foundation. And Tracy, before you pick up where you left off, I want to remind our listeners that, you know, all of us can get involved by downloading these tools, these letters, and in our own circle, sharing them. And I think of this, as we've already talked about, there's so much tragedy that surrounds any family that goes down the road of abortion. I think of this, even obviously the mother, the grandmother, the grandparents, but even the children, the siblings. I recall being in a setting where the topic of abortion wasn't even being discussed, but My wife was doing a children's message with some small children and asked them what they were thankful for. And some of them said the normal things, like, I'm thankful for my mom, for my home, for things like that. But two of the children, both of them, two little boys, around the ages of 5, 6, very young, both of them said, I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me. So somehow or another, these children knew what abortion was and were thankful that they'd been bypassed. So the damage happens in the lives of the mom and many times the grandparents, the siblings, and the families and children. They're aware of the tragedy of abortion as well. So when we get involved and help stand for life and help stand up for these children, again, we can help families avoid so much heartache, so much damage, and so many tragic realities in their lives, though. But would you pick up where you left off before the break?
Sure. Absolutely. And speaking of that, there are a lot of stories about abortion survivors where the mom was planning to have an abortion at the last minute, decided to choose life. And actually, one of those, since we were just talking about celebrity types, one of those people is Nick Cannon, who's pretty famous in the reality show, et cetera, Circle. Mm-hmm. And so he's an abortion survivor. And really, so many kids that are now adults since 1973 can be considered abortion survivors.
That's right.
I also wanted to address another situation. We were just talking about guardians. But another avenue that we are concerned about, where we're reaching out to train those folks, is school nurses and guidance counselors. And again, there's been a couple of situations that we've been involved in where a girl had called a pregnancy center and said, well, my school counselor told me that I have to do what my parents say, and my mom wants to take me for an abortion. And so with these kinds of cases, we ended up developing a letter for medical professionals, guidance counselors, et cetera, that, again, explains the laws to them and also their professional responsibility to make sure that they are giving accurate information to that girl that comes into the school nurse or the counseling office is pregnant. And so there have been situations where that girl was given the wrong information, mm-hmm. and now, you know, the law says that those officials could be liable. So, again, this is another avenue where we're trying to train those folks. And before we get too far, I know, Pastor Joseph, that you had your own example of how you were able to use the tools that the Justice Foundation provided, like the Dear Parent Letter, in a situation that you were involved in.
Right. You know, I shared this same instance when Alan was on last week, too, but it was a instance where we got a phone call here at Urban, and again, it was just the grace of God that the Lord allowed us to be in a position to be of help. But a 17-year-old girl called one day, and she said, my parents have scheduled me to get an abortion tomorrow, and I want to keep my baby. And of course, in this case, the dad and mom were complicit. They both wanted her to get an abortion, and they just, I guess, felt like it's a done deal. They were going to do that, and so they scheduled it, and she wanted to keep her baby, so she called and said, can you help me? Well, all we did was we emailed a copy of the letter to her that same day. Well, we didn't hear from her the next day, and so out of concern, called. And when we called, this young lady was actually at the abortion clinic. Her mom had taken her, but she had the letter. She had downloaded it, but she hadn't showed her mom yet. And I encouraged her, please show your mom the letter. Well, later in the day, we did hear back from her, and she did show her mom the letter and showed the abortion clinic workers the letter. The abortion clinic workers realized, legally, we cannot do this abortion. Now, her mom was not happy, but the abortion didn't happen. And they did do an ultrasound on her, and they found out this 17-year-old girl was carrying twins. So the Holy Spirit used the letter to save not just one baby, but two babies that day. And so having the letter made all the difference in the world in that situation.
That's great. That is great. And that's how someone that's not even involved directly, let's say, with a pregnancy resource center or a school or whatever, will run across a situation like that, mm-hmm. or someone will call them and say, what do I do in this situation? And that's why the tools are so important. And
that's
again,
right.
You can find all these letters on thejusticefoundation.org. So we have the Dear Parent Letter, the Dear Client Letter. We also have a Father of the Unborn Child Letter that addresses these issues with whether it's the boyfriend or the husband who's the father of the child. So we have that letter. We have the Dear Parent Letter in Spanish. And then we have this letter to medical professionals and school guidance counselors. So there's so many tools out there. And the biggest thing, though, is education. Not only, again, not only educating on the legal side, but educating from the counseling side or the emotional side, spiritual side, if you will.
That's right.
It's so important to be able to do both, because you need to have that heart for understanding how the parents of the girl feel, or sometimes how the boyfriend feels. You need to be able to understand them, but at the same time, explain to them why, if they force her to doing what she doesn't want to do, that it's not only going to be unlawful, but it's going to damage that relationship. So, for example, from the father or the child's perspective, when a boyfriend or husband forces his partner into having an abortion, usually that relationship breaks up because of that very situation. They never talk about it again, but it's that unspoken thing that's between the two of them. And, and most often, those relationships break up, or there's trouble in the relationship or the marriage because there's, you know, ongoing resentment about that situation.
Well, Tracy, would you comment on this factor that relates powerfully to what you just shared, that many people don't realize that, and then, of course, this relates to the whole topic, but men are the engines behind so many abortions in our culture. Yet, sadly, many times people don't realize that because they're quick to say again the mantra. They say, well, it's a woman's choice, a woman's choice. But often you're dealing with a woman who either wants to keep her baby or she's on the fence. But a boyfriend or a husband will basically demand and tell her, you're going to get an abortion. Often saying, well, I'm not ready to be a father. I'm not ready to be a dad. I don't want to take on the extra financial responsibility. But would you elaborate on the fact that there lots of these abortions are because of men in the background?
Absolutely. And a lot of times it's either financial pressure. I won't support the baby, which actually, you know, legally they have to if that baby is born and, you know, they're the father. Or I'll leave you. I'll abandon you. I'll leave you. And that's the emotional blackmail, if you will, that's so tough, is I'm going to leave you and you're going to be without anyone if you don't choose to have this abortion. And that's the real tough part, because a lot of times that woman doesn't have anywhere else to go. Or in the example I gave earlier about the guardian, you know, if the father is her guardian, well, where can she go if she doesn't, you know, have that person to rely on? So it is really important for men to understand their responsibilities, both legally and financially, and to also understand the consequences of their actions. And of course, when you get to a situation of abuse, then that's unlawful, obviously. And there's a lot of situations that happen where there's physical abuse because of the pregnancy. And of course, you know, that's, as we know, totally wrong and illegal.
Right. Assault, amongst other things. And another instance, what I shared with Alan, too, of how that, again, my wife shared of an instance where she ran into a young lady in a phone shop who had had an abortion. And her story was she'd gotten pregnant by her boyfriend, and she was happy about it. And she was excited, and she told her boyfriend. And apparently, not only did he not share her enthusiasm, he decided he wanted to get an abortion. And without saying anything to her verbally, when she told him the news, she just took her. He took her and threw her against the wall and told her, you're going to get an abortion. And though she moments earlier, she was excited about having a baby, she decided, I'm going to do what he says. And she got an abortion. And sadly, again, he abused her and let her know, threatened her, basically, you're going to get an abortion. And of course, she did just what he said.
Right. And of course, that is totally unlawful in a situation like that. The police, you know, would ideally, hopefully, would be called and would have to get involved in that situation. And you know, he would be held criminally liable for doing that. But as we know, a lot of abuse-type situations don't get reported either because of fear. You know?
Yeah, the woman that's fearful, or she's thinking, well, I'll lose the relationship, which, again, sadly, often the relationship ends up being lost anyway. But
Exactly. Being coerced,
though, so... But,
because the same at the same time, that guy that's forcing her to have an abortion, once she doesn't, or once she does have the abortion, a lot of times they'll bail out too. So not only does she lose the baby, she loses the guy, because he just wanted her to do what he said, and then once she did, he's done. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right.
That's very
tragic,
unfortunate.
So.
And there are also, though, I will say, fathers out there that so want to support their girlfriends or their wives. Or, you know, there is a situation where the father does have no say and the woman decides to get an abortion and they're just devastated. But unfortunately, you know, that's part of the law, too, is it is the girl or the woman's choice. But, you know, I do feel badly for those fathers out there that really want to do the right thing.
Right, right. Well, share once again, like, for persons that are wanting to get any of these different letters, again, like if some of our listeners decide they really want to get hold of the letters and really put them to use or distribute in their community, how would they do that?
Okay. So to get our letters, you can go to our website, thejusticefoundation.org, and you can download them. So they are under our Center Against Forced Abortion. The acronym is CAFA, C-A-F-A, and they can download these letters. They can also call the Justice Foundation, especially if there's a legal issue where, again, someone is being forced into having an abortion and it's kind of an immediate thing. They can call and talk with one of us at the Justice Foundation. And that number is 210-614-7157. We also have an 800 number, which is 800, the number 4, OUTCRY, 800-4-OUTCRY. So those are two ways that they can reach out and get information or get advice if they find themselves or someone up that they know finds themselves in that situation.
Okay, then. And would you, when people choose to get the letters in order to distribute them in their communities, should they take a hard copy to, like, the local school, police department? Should they email? What would you suggest
absolutely.
People do?
Yes, definitely. And again, those letters are on our website available. The Dear Parent letter is probably, you know, the most powerful, especially dealing with the parents, and that is on Justice Foundation letterhead, and it does look very legal. But absolutely, the more we spread the word to those people, the better, and that's what we're trying to do with this initiative, is to educate people at all levels, certainly educate the girls or women, educate the parents, educate law enforcement and CPS workers, and then also medical professionals, school guidance counselors, et cetera. There's a whole bunch of people that just need to be aware of how often this happens and also how important it is to, you know, to one, know the law, and two, know the psychological ramifications of forcing someone against their will and how it can really devastate them for years.
Right. Okay. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast today. And again, I'm hoping every single listener will download the letters and put them to good use in their community. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray for the Justice Foundation, for God to use it in more and more and greater and mightier ways. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest was Tracy Reynolds, the Communication and Training Manager for Justice Foundation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.